In the previous episode, we brought to light the Satmar Hasidic group and Grand Rabbi Joel Teitelbaum, just one of the countless voices within Judaism whom strongly oppose Zionism and the Zionist entity. The number of voices is so overwhelming that we deemed it appropriate to devote another episode to show more of Judaism's noble voices whom are defending their faith against Zionism. Let's continue to disassociate Zionism from Judaism by the very statements of the followers of Judaism themselves. Reform Judaism. Since its inception, the Reform Jewish movement maintains that Judaism is a religion and not a nationality, and thus rejects Judaism as a national or ethnic identity. Furthermore, they renounce any messianic expectations of the advent of a Jewish state. And so the rabbis of Reform Judaism opposed Zionism even prior to World War I. In 1845, Samuel Hirsch, David Einhorn, and Samuel Holdheim passed a resolution at the Frankfurt Conference that removed references to Palestine and a Jewish state from prayers on the ground that nationalism and statehood were not compatible with Reform Jewish theology. Similar resolutions in 1869, 1885, and 1897 rejected the idea of the restoration of a Jewish state. As early as 1890, the Central Conference of American Rabbis had publicly opposed Zionist theology. In November 1885, the Reform Movement's Pittsburgh Platform took place, where a group of Reform rabbis met in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They wrote an 8-point platform that one participant called the most successful expression of the theology of the Reform Movement that had ever been published in the world. The platform emphasized that Reform Judaism rejected Jewish nationalism in any variety. It stated, "We consider ourselves no longer a nation, but a religious community, and therefore expect neither a return to Palestine, nor a sacrificial worship under the sons of Aaron, nor the restoration of any of the laws concerning the Jewish state." In his keynote address to the June 1942 meeting of the American Council for Judaism, Rabbi David Philipson declared that Zionism and Reform Judaism were incompatible, saying, "Reform Judaism is spiritual, Zionism is political. The outlook of Reform Judaism is the world, the outlook of Zionism is a corner of Eastern Asia." The American Council for Judaism, incorporated in December 1942. The Council is an organization of American Jews committed to the proposition that Jews are a religious group and not a national one. It is also recognized for its long-standing historical opposition to Zionism. The American Council for Judaism advocates that American Jews should distance themselves from Israel politically, and they do not view Israel as a universal Jewish homeland. One of their fundamental stances is to have no political allegiance to the modern state of Israel. The Council has also challenged the Zionist philosophy, which holds that Israel is the homeland of all Jews, and that Jews living outside of Israel are all in exile. Judah Magnus, Chancellor of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, wrote a letter endorsing the Council's statement of principles, writing, "It is true that Jewish nationalism tends to confuse people, not because it is secular and not religious, but because this nationalism is unhappily chauvinistic and narrow and terroristic in the best style of Eastern European nationalism." From 1943 to 1948, the Council conducted a public campaign against Zionism. One of the speakers at its 1945 conference was Hans Kohn, a one-time German Zionist associated with the University in Exile in New York. He declared, "The Jewish nationalist philosophy has developed entirely under German influence, the German romantic nationalism with the emphasis on blood, race, and descent as the most determining factor in human life. Its historicizing attempt to connect with a legendary past 2,000 or so years ago, its emphasis on folk as a mythical body, the source of civilization. Professor Thomas Kolsky, in his book Jews Against Zionism, The American Council for Judaism, writes, "Their protests against the rapid advances of Zionism in the U.S. and its encroachment upon Reform Judaism resulted in the formation of the American Council for Judaism. Optimistic about the future of Jews in the diaspora, in the U.S. and throughout the world, it regarded the anti-Semitic atrocities committed during World War II as a temporary aberration and firmly believed that a free and democratic society would provide the best guarantee for the well-being of Jews wherever they lived. The ACG rejected all forms of Jewish separatism and denied the right of any group to speak for all Jews. As a solution for the conflict between Jews and Arabs, the ACG recommended a democratic state in Palestine, where Arabs and Jews would share in the government and have equal rights and responsibilities. It rejected the creation of an exclusively Jewish state as undemocratic and as a retreat from the universal vision of Judaism. Even after the State of Israel declared independence in 1948, the American Council for Judaism continued its anti-Zionist campaign. Later on, the Council switched its focus to battling what it viewed as its primary foe, the political influence of Zionism upon American Jewry. And thus, the American Council for Judaism vocally supported the efforts of William Fulbright to have the lobbyists of Israel in the United States legally registered as foreign agents. In addition, the American Council for Judaism opposed the establishment of a Jewish state not just in Palestine, but anywhere else in the world. Finally, detailing their purpose, they say, "that we might fulfill our historic mission of working together with all of God's people to build a world of justice, love, and peace." At the end of this episode, it is now crystal clear that Zionism is not Judaism. We have also brought to light the reality that leaders of the Reform movement have maintained for decades that Jews are not a people or a nationality, but are in fact a religious group. The Reform Judaism movement's philosophy, Judaism is exclusively a religion, and it teaches ethical monotheism, which is incompatible with Zionist nationalism. And their age-old status in European ghettos as a segregated and oppressed minority was imposed from without, and once abolished, Jews had no reason to think of themselves as a separate people. Their objective should be to integrate into the broader society. Once living in a free society, Jews should adopt it as their Zion, which is what early Reform rabbis called the United States. Since Zion was here, there was no Zion to return to. Thus, Reform Jews do not seek to return to Zion. They do not seek to rebuild the Holy Temple. That is why they call their synagogues temples. As Rabbi Gustav Poznanski famously declared in 1841 at the dedication ceremony of Temple Beth Elohim in Charleston, South Carolina, "This country is our Palestine. This city is our Jerusalem, this house of God, our temple." And so you think these are the only voices defending Judaism from Zionism? Think again, shake your head in awe, because in the next episode we continue to bring even more Judaic voices to light, defending Judaism from Zionism.